I'm Brady Berserker.
I'm Big Sexy Brian Bales.
And I'm Metal Mattson from Super Geeky Playdate,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper, the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor of the Starling Tribune. My name is SP, and your other reporters for this special edition, number 171 of the Starling Tribune, are Chris.
Hey, kid.
That's all he got out as he came in the door, the big Slade Wilson, and Michelle.
You're not in your suit, so no suit, no code names, them's the rules.
Felicity quote to start off the season for Michelle. Everybody, this podcast is recorded on Sunday, October 15th, 2017, live on www.geeks.live. Remember, our audio newspaper is full of spoilers, facts, and speculations about Arrow and, heck, the rest of the DC TV, movie, and comic universe.
And today we'll be discussing Arrow, as well as interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as other things in the Arrowverse, such as The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Vixen, and Constantina. Hey, you never know, as we get closer to the premiere of Black Lightning, we might talk about that too.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. After the show, you can check out our content at GunnaGeek.com. We can also find other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles.
Woohoo! Thanks, guys! Michelle, you're up! Let's break down the premiere episode of Season 6.
All right, Season 6, Episode 1, Fallout, originally aired October 12th, 2017. Director, one of our favorites, James Bam Bam Bamford. Stunt guy turned director, has directed 7 Arrow and 1 Supergirl. Writers, we have the big guns, Mark Guggenheim, executive producer of Arrow, has also written 15 Arrow and 9 Legends, and the showrunner herself, Wendy Miracle. She's also written 23 Arrow, 1 Smallville, and 1 Star Wars The Clone Wars.
Awesome. So, this episode of Arrow was the premiere of Season 6, and it premiered to a live audience of 1.52 million people. How does that compare to the other DC TV shows on the CW? Well, Supergirl aired on Monday, the 9th of October, to their premiere, Girl of Steel, with a live audience of 1.87. That's basically against Monday Night Football there, so that's respectable. Flash on Tuesday at the primetime 8 o'clock spot premiered their Season 4 with a live studio audience, no, a live audience of 2.84 million. That is the winner of the four shows for the week with The Flash Reborn. And then our secondary favorite show, Legends of Tomorrow, aired their Season 3 premiere on the 10th of October following The Flash to a live audience of 1.71 that got to see the episode Rubicon. By the way, the Flash episode premiere was entitled The Flash Reborn. Now, how do these numbers stack up specifically for Arrow? Well, I went back last year and I looked at all of the individual episodes. I totaled them up. I divided them by 23 because that's how many episodes there were. And the average rating for last year of Season 5 of Arrow was 1.75. Now, that does include an outlier of the crossover episode, which was 3.55. Everything else was basically below 2. Now, how does the premiere of Season 6 of Arrow stack up against the rest of the seasons? Well, Season 1 premiered their pilot episode on October 10th, 2012, to a live audience of 4.14. Season 2 of Arrow, episode City of Heroes, premiered on October 9th, 2013. 13 to a 2.74 rating, kind of about 50% of season one. Season three premiered on October 8th, 2014 to a live audience of 2.83. Season four of Arrow, the title Green Arrow, premiered on October 7th, 2015, and it took a slight back slide from season three to a audience of 2.67. And then last year, season five, the Green Arrow or Arrow episode Legacy premiered on the 5th of October, 2016 to a live audience of 1.89. So this is definitely the lowest premiere of Arrow. Now they did switch from the Wednesday night to Thursday night, so that might be an issue as well, but this is definitely the lowest by far.
Yeah, well, they're taking on the NFL. Everyone's going to lose to the NFL. It's Thursday night football. That impacts everyone's ratings. That's part of the thing. You can't tell very well success or fail in a lot of these shows because a bunch of people watch the NFL. That's why the Orville's ratings, they're saying they look good when compared to the NFL. We'll see what happens. It's why Thursday night, the comedy block that CBS has, they move that to Monday so they can have all that on TV. So I'd be real curious to see how this works come March timeframe, what the Arrow ratings are like on Thursday night.
Well, in March, you're competing against the NCAA basketball tournament.
Not as powerful as the NFL. Okay, let's go February then, just for argument's sake. I don't think this is as doom and gloom as it seems. That's more what I'm trying to get at here. While the ratings are down, I think it was to be expected going up on a Thursday night against the NFL. And what else is on at 9 p.m. anyways? There's probably something that I'm not thinking of.
It is the primetime slot. I just want to point out before Michelle chimes in here that you have to remember that the CW app is more prevalent now than it was in the past. So we don't know how many people are actually watching it on the app, which is available the next day. We don't have that information available.
Right. And their DVR ratings. Remember, the plus three and plus sevens for Arrow are generally pretty good. Same with a lot of the other kind of sci-fi or geeky related shows, is you've got a lot of folks that are like, I don't need to see it live. I'll just catch it the next day. I'm part of the problem. Like, I didn't watch this live. I watched, I think, on Saturday on my DVR.
Yeah. And ratings were down almost everywhere on the CW except for Riverdale. So it's not like Arrow was an outlier. A lot of the other shows were premieres were lower than last season.
And again, I think that has something to do with further cord cutting and the CW app, but we don't know. We have no idea.
True.
So, Michelle, we talk about the overall theme every week, right? So we normally attribute the overall theme to the title of the episode.
Correct. This episode was called Fallout. Well, the events that happened after Leon Yu. We're 5 months out, but there's a whole bunch of flashbacks to where we see who lived, coma, died, live. It's basically the results of Leon Yu.
Yeah, that's not inaccurate. The thing, all these consequences we're going to have as the island gets blown up, and yeah, it's the weakest of consequences you could have. I felt a little cheated, but maybe I just overhyped what was going to happen in my head in the off season.
I knew Samantha Clayton, who's played by Anna Hopkins, was not going to return because she actually announced a casting role on another show like the week before. So I knew she wasn't going to come back. It was plain and simple. If she was going to live, she would have had to have been a key part of the season because William's going to be a key part of the season. So I knew she was going to die. That was no big surprise to me whatsoever. I guess spoiled by casting announcement.
At least they actually pulled the trigger on the death there. No pun intended, I realize, as I put it that way. Instead of the cop-out of, oh, she's in a coma too. So that whenever we need her, we can bring her back for 2-episode arc and then have her go away again.
Yeah, but okay, you know what? I'm just going to get this out of my system. Basically, the only person that we know dies is Samantha. And we know that Thea ends up in a coma. The other ones we're not too sure about are the two Agul sisters and Artemis. I'm thinking Artemis is probably dead because nobody actually cared to talk about her during the entire premiere episode.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking she's dead. They didn't kill Quentin. We already knew from the poster for the crossover they didn't kill Curtis. I am upset that the women are the ones who are either dead or in a coma. That is disturbing me on certain levels, that it's none of the men paid the price. I mean, Prometheus is the bad guy and he killed himself, but that's different. You know, considering, I guess there were 13 people that could have died and we get like one. It's just, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that reckoning wasn't too much of a reckoning we had at the end of the season. I think that's part of what happened. Now, I wasn't expecting to kill off like half the cast, but I expected more consequences than, oh, William's mom is dead. Oh, Thea's in a coma, which is convenient because Willa Holland has other things she seems to be interested in and has been scaling back her Arrow time. And oh, the Al Ghul sisters who are part-time players. We don't know what happened to them. Yeah, maybe I was expecting too much. I don't know.
I did expect either Diggle or Quentin to be killed on the island. I did expect one or the other to be effective. We now know that they're both affected, but neither were deceased. They lived through it. They got back to Starling City. So I guess, Michelle, I'm completely in your corner where I can't believe they just killed off one character. And it was a secondary character at best. I mean, I love Anna Hopkins, but she wasn't a main character on Arrow.
Well, we all called that she was going to die, though. Let's keep that in mind. We all said, oh, yeah, she's totally dead. And we were all right. And we were almost right on Thea.
True. Almost.
I still think Thea can go over to Legends of Tomorrow. That is a possibility to bolster up the female rankings on the ship, so to speak. But she would fit in well there. It's just my two cents there. I think Willa Holland would do great over on that other show. So let's talk about the characters that are left on Arrow. Dinah Drake is left. We've got Felicity that's there. We've got Curtis. We've got Quentin, Diggle. Michelle, where do you want to start?
Okay, so Felicity comes in with Big Belly Burger, which I like how off the bat we get Big Belly Burger. And when she gives it to Ollie, she says she has extra. And he says, is there enough for three? So you think they're dating or not dating?
Oh, yeah, they're totally back. Felicity's back on.
I don't think that Oliver and Felicity in the last 5 months have had time to be alone. I think that Oliver is setting up his apartment. He's setting up his life again, and he's dealing with Thea in the hospital. I just don't think he's had any time to consider a personal life. I mean, they obviously want to, but I just don't think they have any time to do it.
No, it's back on. I'm calling it right now. It's totally back on.
It's probably on. I just don't think they've had time to spend together.
Well, remember, they held the whole quip when everyone's like, well, we got stuff to do. Oh, subtle as always, guys. I mean, seems like the team's been making time for them to have time, even if it's not an extended period each time. I said time a lot there.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking of a song lyrics there, but in order for me to say it, I'm going to have to sing it and then we'd get bleeped. So no.
Yeah, maybe I'm just biased as I've been spending too much time in the Arrow subreddit, which is fairly anti-Olicity. And I've started to lean that way more myself right now because
when were you ever pro-Olicity?
I wasn't pro, but I wasn't anti. I was kind of like, okay, this is the cards we're dealt. Right now, it just seems kind of forced to go back to it again. Okay, no, let's let the characters move on truly. There is a vocal group that want to see Oliver and Felicity together. That's great. It's a CW show. We've got to have relationship drama. Let's not make this a thing. That's why I was kind of bothered by some of the news we see and the spoiler stuff later on.
All right. So since we've established who's on the island, who's not, who's back in Starling City, let's get back to our normal flow and let's talk about the fight scenes. And Chris, since you're our fight connoisseur on the Starling Tribune, let's run down the fine fights that were in this episode.
So we do open up with a pretty cool fight where they're on the ship. Ollie's got all sorts of arrows. He's using his wire arrow a lot this time around, but there's a real badass scene as he comes flying out of the water on the wire arrow, looking for Faust, I believe was the character's name. We get a look at Spartan in there, who's punching a lot of goons, and I'm kind of wondering, why isn't he shooting his guns? More on that later. And then we get our first look of Wild Dog with his new costume, and I don't know about you guys, I'm not really digging the new costume. What do you guys think?
I'm glad he has one.
Rather than the hockey mask?
Yeah, he looks a little less like Jason or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle character.
Casey Jones?
Yeah.
The one that Stephen Amell plays?
Yes.
But, you know, that's the look of Wild Dog in the comics. So I actually read an article before this of the creator of Wild Dog kind of going, well, he's not even my character at all anymore, except for a name. And I kind of have the same thought. I wish they'd at least make the mask white, at least to be an homage to that white hockey mask he was wearing, something like that. Or again, maybe I'm just too picky.
Well, I think it's supposed to show that he's graduated.
I guess.
The fights were so good this time around that I'm going to get back to actually critiquing the fights and the fight choreography. So let's get back to Oliver's in the water. He shoots the bad guy that are on the back of the ship, the back of the barge, whatever it is, and then he comes out of it. Now, I watched that a second time. I don't know where he's coming from, but those guys with guns clearly were shooting into the water exactly where he was at. So odds are he probably was in the vicinity of taking a bullet while he was in the water shooting arrows out of the water. And oh, by the way, how do you shoot an arrow out of the water and maintain its velocity? I don't know, but it was a cool effect.
It was. Well, the Mythbusters did prove that if you're under like a foot of water, pretty much most bullets aren't going to hit you. So Mythbusters did it.
All right, we'll go with Mythbusters there.
The trade-off there is your arrow is not going to breach the water very well either when you're shooting out of it.
True. And they were definitely coming out amazingly. So Curtis is using the T-sphere. I have all sorts of problems with that because there's no propulsion on that thing whatsoever. And yet it's able to not only maintain speed, but catch up to a missile. And I just, okay.
It's a magnet.
This is, I think, for me, Curtis and his balls are something that I just have to, like, forget about how they work. Because it's like, does he have, like, some sort of mental connection? Like, does he whisper into it and go...
He's the ball whisperer, you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, he just throws it. And somehow this ball magically knows to go to the missile, hover above the missile. Because it's not like he has, like, a little tablet or something with him. He just throws the ball.
Here's the thing. He went to the theater. He saw Guardians of the Galaxy and he saw what Yondu did and what you're just not hearing him whistle. He whistles at a frequency that we cannot hear. Dogs can hear it, but he cannot hear it. We cannot hear it. The T-spheres can hear it. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's doing the same thing that Yondu does over in the Guardians of the Galaxy. And I know I just crossed the streams, but that was intentional because he was able in the DC comic book universe to go to a Marvel comic book movie in the theater.
Okay. Whistling?
At an inaudible frequency.
So does he do that physically or does he have like a thing?
See, he's whistling within his teeth. You're just not hearing it.
Oh.
I see.
Sure.
We'll go with that, I guess. Because plot.
It was cool.
One last cool thing with this fight is when Oliver finally gets free of one of the henchmen and he nails Faust to the deck plates with those two arrows to the shoulder. That was awesome. It was definitely wire work that just flew him back, but that was just awesome to see. Oh, and it for Arrow, this is one of the things that we've been talking about for the past year. I've been hammering it all summer long that we needed to get the fights back to the level that they were season one, season two. And I think this opening scene showed us that they were at least paying lip service to the fans that wanted better fight scenes right away. So instead of me looking down at my phone half the time, I'm actually looking at the screen and I'm looking at these fights going, I think this is going to work out for us, but we'll see for the rest of the season. So Chris, what's next fight do we have?
So our next fight, this one's a little bit smaller, but it's in the police station. We've got some chaos that happens here. Faust has been arrested. He's being questioned by Dinah, who we know wasn't in the first fight because she had to work, who is now, what, a lieutenant now? Did I hear that right? Or detective?
Lieutenant. She's a lieutenant, and she was trying to communicate with her detective.
Yes. So she's gotten up there in rank for being with the SCPD for a very short time. She's investigating him, finds out that Quentin's not at the police building he's supposed to, so she goes off to look for him, and that's fairly lucky because Faust is begging for a soda. Begging for a soda until one of the police officers gives it to him, and he then smashes his head into the table, and I go, what is this, a play on police brutality? Which then the police officer said, that's not going to work. No, he was knocking a tooth out because he was dropping a tooth into the carbonated soda to make an improvised explosion, which was kind of cool, to be honest. So, sets off an explosion, then down comes a wall, and in comes Black Siren and her goons. They storm the police station and basically just destroy it.
Okay, so when Faust knocked his head on the table, I knew exactly what was going on, because he was going for, I thought it was a suicide pill. Turned out to be a little bomb in the making.
I thought a pill of some kind, I just didn't know what it would do.
And those poor policemen in Star City, I would have knocked it out of his hand. It's not going to do any good in his hand, especially when he's just said, thank you for the soda, and then bangs his head. I mean, there's too many indicators there. There's something going on there, and you need to get that pill away. Michelle, did you see that coming?
Yeah, I mean, I saw he was going to do something. I was not expecting the brutality of Black Sirens. People just come in and they just mow down the police officers and blow the whole thing up. And it's like, holy smokes. That's a lot of death.
It is. And it makes me wonder, and I think you tweeted this, why would anybody want to stay in Star City? Why would anybody want to be on the Star City Police Department?
Tax breaks.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I don't know. I got nothing.
It'd be. And the other thing I would say is that because this is part of the Arrowverse, we've been corrected on that this past summer, in case you haven't caught up with that. It is not the Berlantiverse. It is the Arrowverse. Because the Arrowverse takes place in Central City and other places, we know that Star City is not the only place where things are getting bad. So I don't know, if you leave Star City, what's the chances you're going to run into this somewhere else? So there's that too. Okay, so that's the police station. We get a lot of dead cops. We get Black Siren showing her stuff. We move on to the next fight, Chris, right?
That's right. We move on to our next fight. This one, things get a little more exciting. It's on the roadside. We get to see Dinah in her new costume unleash the Black Canary Scream, and then you get a pretty badass fight of Dinah v. Black Siren. And it's pretty cool to see two metas with screaming abilities going after each other who are also badass martial artists.
Oh, it was so good. The actors I know are taking their training seriously, and so they're getting into it, and they have great stunt doubles. And it was just an amazing fight. It really felt like almost like season two again, you know, with the fighting just down in there. And oh, it was great.
It was really good. And then you get the rest of the team that shows up to come and back up Dinah. And this is where I talked about earlier. You start to see Diggs having some issues. He goes to shoot his gun and then his hand just starts shaking uncontrollably. And while he's unable to take a shot and Dinah notices, Renee gets shot in the chest and goes flying off the bridge. Not good news.
No, not good at all. Okay, I'm going to dissect the fight again. It was a really good fight, especially the Siren v. Siren fight. Absolutely. Not going to take that away, or Black Canary versus Black Siren. Not going to take that away at all. That was the key point of it. But once you had Wild Dog on the bridge, and it started looking like they were making excuses in order for him to get shot over the rail like he was. So from that perspective, we need to do a little bit better on the escapism from the fights. And I have another example from that coming up. But I'm not going to complain, because this is way better than most of the fights we got last year.
Yeah, but then you had Ollie shoot the guy in the back to where he could dive and grab Wild Dog and use the guy as the weight to stop their descent, and then they used the car.
Yeah, and how that arrow didn't yank out of that dude's back as soon as they went and pulled on that cable, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
Dude's shoulder is completely wrecked.
Oh yeah, I'll never use that same shoulder the same way again.
And finally, the last fight that we have for the episode was amazing.
Do we remember when the arrow cave used to be secure?
It was never secure.
It was never secure.
They'd be better off being under a nightclub again.
We need to bring back the Verdant. Of course, Thea can't manage it.
I think it's toast. I think that set has been destroyed at this point in time. They've moved on to other things.
I know, but it would be nice to have a big belly burger back, too.
Cheeseburger.
I'm going to have to go to Five Guys after this. Okay, so the Arrow Cave, there's a complete fight in there, and it was amazing. You had a multiple scene fight going on either simultaneously or sequentially, and it was great to see. Now, this is the other example, though, that I have. Again, I'm being picky, but this is the other example that I have where you have Curtis, who gets in a fight and he gets out of the fight until he gets corralled by two guys, which are then taken down by Oliver. But then he runs the other way and you never see him again. But then you have Diggle coming in and taking care of the bad guys, and you never see Curtis again in the fight. So my problem is I don't know what happened with Curtis. That was just poor choreography for the motion of the fight. But the rest of the fight was amazing. Again, you had the Black Canary versus Black Siren on the platform. You had Diggle doing his stuff, and you had Oliver coming in doing arrows, and you had the Canary screen. So it was an amazing fight. Again, worthy of a season one or season two Arrow.
Yeah. Black Siren destroys the Arrow cave. It's episode one. I'm sorry. It's like the Enterprise going down again. It's just...
I guess if it was the Enterprise, I'd have an issue with it. But I just know that everybody knows where the Arrow cave is, and then they're just going to come in and wreck the place.
So but what are they going to do next? I mean, are we going to get a new Arrow cave?
Watchtower, clock tower.
Do you think they're finally going to go there?
They might. I mean, where else are they going to go?
Yeah, this whole underground thing's not working for them anymore.
No.
No. And the other thing I was thinking of is maybe they don't do helicarriers in the DC universe, but they do major blimps. So maybe?
The hella blimp. I'll have the hella blimp.
the Arrow blimp.
And they'll just repurpose the basement of City Hall. It'll become the new Arrow cave.
I like the idea of being high up for a change. So like being on a clock tower might work. But although with this series history with windows, maybe that's not a good idea.
Windows, that's just something to fall out of.
I'm just thinking of the falling shrapnel from the broken windows. But I like the fights again, and we have alluded to it, but we need to talk about it. Diggle's refusal to use his gun. Michelle, walk us down through that.
Not too sure if it's because of what happens on the island or because of his injury. On Leon Yu, Dinah has the idea to use the plane as a shield. So everybody goes to run. Samantha, you know, is like, I gotta find William. So she runs off, and Thea runs after her. And then while everybody's running to the plane, Felicity trips, Diggle goes back, helps her. And so when the explosion happens, it looks like a piece of shrapnel or something ruins his arm, his shoulder, because you see like a scar in his right shoulder. So not sure if it's trying to recover from the injury or if it's just going through a whole bunch of explosions on an island. It could be one, it could be the other. Could be both.
I get the feeling they're going to go the injury route, because remember, all the news we had is Diggle's going to have severe trials and tribulations this year, and it could be that his physical handicap that prevents him from being able to fight in the same way as part of what he has to cope with. Maybe he's got to learn to shoot left-handed predominantly now or something like that.
I find it hard to believe that he has a problem shooting a gun, because he's throwing people left and right with both arms. So
they're hinting at the fact it's the injury, though, a lot more, I think, than they are being in his head.
Or maybe they're going to do a weird PTSD thing storyline with him.
It would not surprise me, because the dude's been through a lot. This actually, I know he's been through some bad times, but maybe this is where he finally breaks in terms of the psyche to fight and be in battle. I could see that. And that would be an homage to the servicemen that are dealing with that in the country today. And I could definitely see them wanting to do something like that, like a public service sort of storyline. Is it necessary? Maybe not.
We already know they like to do their preachy stuff. Remember, they did a gun control episode. They're supposedly doing a Black Lives Matter episode this week, even though none of those really fit well in the Arrow themes.
And we'll see what happens there. All right. So, Michelle, why don't you march us down the characters and where you see everybody for the entire series here?
Well, we have Oliver, who is Green Arrow, mayor, and single dad. I think it's interesting in his speech to the new police cadets, recruits, that crime is down and people are staying in Star City, which is interesting considering what just happened hours before. And then he has a Razorback in order to help him with William. I was really happy to see her again.
I forgot who she was.
I can't believe we're, I don't know how many minutes into this podcast, we haven't talked about Reza yet. Reza, for those that don't know, was in the very first Arrow episode. Now, we have seen her like maybe once since, but she was the maid, the nanny in the Queen Mansion. And to see her back, her character back, doing the same thing for Oliver, that is such a great fan service. I'm so glad that they brought her back. That was an amazing call. I don't know who made that call, if it was Wendy, if it was Mark, if it was Gray, Phil Clemmer. I don't care. Whoever made that call, you're a genius. Thank you.
Yeah, and she helps him doing the dad thing. And we see William is not exactly been warmed up to him yet. And then Ollie makes that little speech, and it looks like they're going to bond over baseball.
He's the bad man, though.
Well, that was after the bad man comment. I think William is trying to move forward with this, especially after what Oliver said. And I think Reza's in there, too, trying to tell him a little bit of what reality is as well. So, and don't forget, William actually knows he's the Green Arrow.
Everyone knows he's the Green Arrow at this point, though.
Well, yeah, now, thanks to Channel 52.
Well, before Channel 52, wasn't the best kept secret ever.
I know. I love how William has a Flash backpack, though.
Carries over from his first introduction where he had Flash action figures.
I wonder if the Arrow Cave is a Pokestop.
Probably. That's how everyone finds it. They're looking for that elusive Pokemon. And where the hell did I wind up? What's this Green Arrow costume? I'm in the Arrow Cave. I don't know.
Yeah, because that's how the episode ends. We see they have a picture of Ollie in the Green Arrow outfit. So I know we're supposed to get that FBI agent. It looks like she comes to town because of this photograph. And I wonder how they're going to spin that. What, Photoshop? Hashtag fake news? Something?
I could either be cosplay or the fact that he was being used as a decoy at the time.
He can lie his way out of it. I mean, there's plenty of ways to inspire doubt that that's true. The hard thing is going to be going forward, ensuring that you have Mayor Queen and the Green Arrow showing up at some similar events, similar to what they did before in season one, like Diggle wore the suit.
That's why Diggle survived, so he could wear the suit. I get it.
So they need to find someone who can wear the suit and look convincingly enough like the Green Arrow to put in appearances when Oliver Queen is somewhere. Or use that Wells technology to make someone else look like Oliver so Oliver can wear the suit.
Roy.
You know, we'll bring Roy back to be the Green Arrow again for a couple episodes. This is perfect.
That could work, or you could get John Jones in from Supergirl.
Yeah, when he crosses over next time, they just have him pretend to be Oliver for a little bit. Problem solved. I mean, I'm being facetious. They're making a point that this is going to be an issue. And if you've read the comics, there was a good arc there where Oliver's identity, publicly known, he's still the mayor of Star City. They could eventually be going that route, or at least teasing that they're going that route.
No idea. The one thing that is in the back of my mind, which wasn't even touched in this episode, was the vigilante. Vigilante was not in this episode. There's no mention of the vigilante in the past 5-6 months. So that's coming up too. And we still don't know who the vigilante is, other than it's somebody that we know.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then we have this other bad guy, because Black Siren is working for somebody, and it seems to be the person who rescued her off of Lian Yu, who had a helicopter.
Was she rescued, or was she brought back from the dead?
Yeah, I thought she was resurrected.
No, at the end, because she's shot, but it's not enough. You see her on Lian Yu, and she wakes up, and then somebody, hey, come with me, sort of deal. So I think she's wounded, but she's not, like, in the Lazarus pit.
I thought she magically waked up from the dead.
I thought he touched her and she woke up. That's, maybe I don't remember correctly.
Well, that would be interesting.
That's my point. It was like out of the blue. All of a sudden she was dead and then she's not dead.
And that's why Quentin thought she was dead, because she was legitimately dead and then resurrected. Because, you know, nobody who's a Lance can stay dead.
It's true. It doesn't matter what universe or planet they're from. Yeah. So we talked about Felicity Smoke a little bit. We didn't talk about Mama Smoke. Mama Smoke is back in Vegas.
Makes sense.
It's a way to get rid of a character.
Yeah, exactly.
And the CWDC universe did that a couple of times this past week. What else we got to talk about, Michelle?
I want to touch on Quentin, first off. He's alive. Yay. Look, I love Paul Blackthorne. You know, I love you. But yeah, again, it's like, of all these people, we had like one death verified. I understand why he couldn't kill Black Siren, because to him, he sees his daughter, which I understand, because the man's been through a lot. Like, Sarah was alive, presumed dead, alive, presumed dead, alive, dead, resurrected, time traveler, dead, came back. And then you have Laurel, who was alive, dead, and then now a doppelganger. So I can understand why he's like a little, woo, but where do we think that's going to go? Because at the end of the episode, he can't shoot her. And she goes, you know, if it was me, I would have shot you and stuff. And so now I'm just like, well, where is this story going to go? That's where I'm stuck.
He's going to continually think that she is salvageable. And she is, that some of his Laurel is in this version. And that's just not the case. There's no Darth Vader moment to be had here.
Does he survive the season?
We keep thinking he's going to die and he doesn't. So as much as I think he might, no. As much as I think he might die, rather, yes, he survives it.
Haven't we been predicting like his death since like season two or something? Season two?
Well, season one, I started predicting back then, yeah.
He's still around.
Holy crap. He is. And again, I have nothing against him. He's a tremendous actor. I love him on the show. It's just at some point in time, you have to start looking at contracts versus money that's available, especially with ratings that are down. And I don't know how they're generating revenue. The ads that are playing on the CW app might actually generate more revenue for them than the TV shows, because you cannot fast forward through it. I don't know any of that. All I know is that it's suspect to have him on the show at this point, whereas just about everybody else has either been replaced or they've left and they've come back.
Yeah, it is still very crowded.
Yes, that's the problem they're going to continue to have, is they've got way too many characters that a lot of people find interesting and not enough time to do anything with them every week.
Yeah, don't forget that it's a long season too, so you don't know what's going to happen. I would bet that everybody that's on the show right now is going to make it to the crossover. Now, what happens at the mid-season finale and at the beginning of next year, that's going to be an issue. And we have a new story that's kind of similar to that later on with another of the shows, with Legends of Tomorrow specifically. So I'm not going to give anything away there until we get there. But Deputy Mayor Lance, definitely an issue. Although, if Oliver does have a slight fall from grace, then at least he could step in and be the temporary mayor. That would be an interesting storyline for him. Ultimate redemption. So, it's a possibility.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they're going with that.
All right. Michelle, do you have anything else to talk about for this episode before we move on?
I thought it was funny that Renee has Thea's old job and everybody was making a joke about like how he can read and write.
True. And I think that's important. First of all, he is still injured. And I don't know about you guys, but my headcanon said that he accepted the fact that he had to stay in the hospital and get better because of that conversation he had with Oliver.
I did like that conversation he had with Oliver, too. It showed great heart between them, especially for two guys that butted heads a lot last season.
And it shows the status of where he is with his daughter, Zoe. Mm-hmm. So we can still get the My Two Dads and Zoe this season.
I hope so.
Sweet. Make it happen.
All right, Michelle, what do we got coming at us next week?
Yes, next week, episode 2, Tribute. It will air Thursday, October 19th. And it totally returns to Star City.
Yay!
Yes!
Oliver tries to balance being the mayor, the Green Arrow, and a father to William. And it totally returns to Star City with a deadly agenda. Directed by Laura Beasley. Story by Adam Schwartz. Teleplay by Mark Guggenheim and Beth Schwartz.
If I remember, Laura Beasley has been around in the series before. I'd have to look at her IMDb, but this, with the teleplay and the writer, I think this is going to be a good episode, especially when you're talking about Anatoly. There's a lot of history there. I can't wait. Oh, you know, one more thing. You know that we talked about how they were going to do flashbacks in Arrow this season, because we've gone to that 5-year point. So we've outlived the flashbacks as they started from season one. How did you guys like the flashbacks as they pertain just to the season finale in this episode?
Well, they had to do that. If the way the finale was, you had to flashback to show the fallout of it. So for me, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle flashbacks going forward in other episodes.
Michelle?
It seems as though the flashbacks are going to just kind of be whenever they feel like it needs to be done with certain characters. And it almost seems like, I wonder if they're going to try to turn this into more of an ensemble show in order to justify how crowded it is. And one of the ways they could do that is by using the flashbacks to highlight a character every episode or so.
They have a built-in 5 or 6 months, right off the bat, that they can do flashbacks since the island. So I think that was a smart decision on their part. I did like how this all went. So can't wait till next week. Sorry that I didn't hit that in before our promo for the next time. But in the meantime, we're going to move on to some news. Straight from the Starling Tribune news desk on Earth 2, the main floor we're at today. Chris, what do we got talking about Prometheus?
So we thought we were done with Prometheus at the end of the last season, but he is going to appear in the four-way crossover, but there is a bit of a catch. Entertainment Weekly has confirmed that the Arrow villain will appear in the four-way crossover between Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, and Legends tomorrow, but it will be the Prometheus from Earth X, otherwise known as Prometheus X. There are no plans for Josh Segarra to return as Prometheus, which raises the question, who is under the mask for Prometheus X? I have no idea, guys.
Oliver Queen.
Well, it'd be interesting.
But the article also says Dark Arrow, Dark Flash, and Overgirl, so might not be. Interesting. So we'll see in that four-way crossover. We've got a lot of information about the four-way crossover so far, including the key is going to be the Supergirl women. So that is something to look forward to. Talking about the crossover, Michelle, we have a wedding or two in our future.
Yeah, so we all know that the crossover is going to involve Barry and Iris getting married. Well, there is a set photo that suggests that perhaps Oliver and Felicity could get married. So there's a set photo that has Grant Gustin and Candace Patton dressed in the nines on their big day. But the surprisingly part is that Stephen Amell and Emily Breck Rickards are right alongside them, with Amell's Oliver Queen apparently placing a ring on the finger of Felicity's finger. So placing a ring on that. Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean marriage. It could be an engagement again.
Ugh.
Guys, look. They have got to do something. Do you really think they're going to have Oliver be the well-adjusted single dad for the rest of the seasons of Arrow?
Let me give you a little hint. There are no well-adjusted single dads on this planet. There are ones that cope, but they're not well-adjusted. Guys are just not meant to be single parents.
Well, that was a sweeping judgment. But anyway, this is, as you guys keep saying, the CW, and a lot of people are, you know, pro-Felicity. It's just, I really think that they're headed that way. The thing about the CW is that they like to do 7-year contracts. That's the one thing. A lot of networks do 5. The CW does 7. And I learned that because Nito Dobrev from the Vampire Diaries and everything, the 7 years were up. And she was like, nope, I don't want to renew and all that type of stuff. That's how I learned that they did commonly do 7. So Arrow getting a 7th season, I wouldn't be surprised, because that would be like a natural into a lot of their contracts. So setting up Oliver and Felicity and William as one big happy, I think they're starting that.
It's played out at this point. I mean,
I have 5 words for you, Chris. How I met your mother.
Yeah, she's Aunt Robin.
Yeah. You were picking up what I'm putting down there, Chris. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, and I had the same problem with How I Met Your Mother, too. I was like, okay, this is played out. Stop trying to force it to happen. And yes, there is a vocal group of people that are real excited this is happening, but it hasn't worked between those two characters multiple times for various reasons. it just doesn't, it doesn't feel right that they'd be like, let's give it a fourth try or something like that. Especially when Oliver's like, I gotta be a single dad for a while. I gotta adjust to this new life. It just seems rushed, and it just seems like it's done to draw the fan approval of the LSD folks to hopefully bring people in. Whereas there's a lot of people that have jumped off that. And maybe I'm overly critical.
I'm going to throw speculation at you. Okay. So I'm going to say Tommy Merlin comes back and is the vigilante. That's just speculation.
Earth 2, Tommy.
Yeah. Whoever, right? And all of a sudden, the threesome of Oliver, Tommy, and a girl, not Laurel this time, but Felicity is involved. This could happen.
Yay.
Exactly. How I Met Your Mother. Okay, let's move on to something a little bit more. I'm actually happy and sad about this. So, Chris, you have some Legends of Tomorrow news to drop on us.
Right, so the news dropped on the 11th, so about 4 days ago we found out that Victor Garber is going to leave Legends of Tomorrow. Garber, who plays Martin Stein, as we all know, is one half of Firestorm, will be exiting the show during the current season. The departure had been rumored for many months now, and it seems imminent once it was revealed in September he'd be returning to Broadway in Hello, Dolly. The report states that Garber's exit has been planned meticulously to give Stein a fitting send-off. It's also said he'll remain a series regular throughout the third season, though he's not likely to return for episodes beyond those he's already filmed. So what does this mean for Jax? Well, he's likely to find another half so that he can remain as the hero Firestorm. So it'll be interesting to see who the new second half of Firestorm becomes and how they write out the fact that Stein needs to do that to survive, especially in light of the premiere episode where now he's a grandfather and things like that. So they set things up there, but they need to figure out the way to basically cure him of being Firestorm.
The weekly bonding session was mentioned, absolutely, and we have that going. But I just want to mention one thing. Called it. Told you guys. You go back to our Legends of Tomorrow prediction episode. I said that Stein was going to... I said he was going to die. I don't think he's going to die, though, but he's definitely going to be leaving. I would love it, especially since they brought Lily forward in the premiere episode. I would love it if Lily was the other half, but I understand if they don't go that route.
Yeah, she's going to be a mom.
Exactly. So she needs to take care of the kid. So that took care of Lily being the other half. I still would like to see it, but yeah, she would have to be mom. Although, time travel, they could go in the future and get her there. Or the past, too.
Now my brain hurts.
I know, it's time travel. All right, Michelle, your favorite character in the DC CW universe has a little announcement as well.
Yes, there are two news articles. First, there's a first look of his animated series that's going to be on the CW Seed. He's there with some demons, and he's, you know, the demons are coming here for one thing, and then actually it's no to lure another demon, and then there's a fight, and it's wonderful. They have him smoke him doing his own thing. That was great news. And then even better news dropped. Matt Ryan is going to be on Legends of Tomorrow for two episodes. He will reprise his role of the demon hunter John Constantine for a two-episode arc in Legends of Tomorrow. He will appear in episodes 9 and 10, which will take place chronologically after his appearance on Arrow and involve a confrontation with the Big Bad. And according to executive producer Phil Klemmer, we knew that an alienated, chain-smoking, bisexual, world-weary demonologist would feel right at home among our legends. So there's supposed to be some hot sex, and I hope it's with Mick Roy. No, Constantine is bisexual. So unless it was Sarah, they're supposed to have a romantic thing with Sarah, because Constantine helped get her soul and stuff. And so there's a connection with Sarah, and I don't know. I'm just so happy that Constantine's coming back.
I could just see Mick in the bed afterwards saying, "Constantine, go get me another beer."
Well, remember, Constantine has hands that can catch on fire, and Mick does like fire, so that could be some added kink right there. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Nice.
So it's good to see Constantine ramping back up in the DC TV universe, and we have a lot of other news stories that we're just not going to go through, but they will be in the show notes. You can always check those out at GunnaGeek.com. Michelle, you started off the season doing your tremendous live tweeting throughout the week, and you managed to get a lot of feedback on the Twitter. You want to run that down?
Yeah, first off, thank you to everyone who retweets and likes and corresponds. One of the interactions I had on Twitter was with consultant Black Adam, StarSable_22. He reacted to the news that I posted about Victor Garber, and he actually mentioned that, you know, he thought, yes, Victor Garber would be leaving because the whole I want to be around with my grandchild. I, you know, responded by like, how do you think they'll figure out to be Jax to be alone? And Black Adam was like, he even proposed that perhaps Stein's daughter could be the other half of Firestorm. And then I'm like, well, she's going to be a mom. But then I had this moment of like, well, what if they got into the future and they grabbed her and time travel?
Yeah, great minds think alike.
Yep. And I don't normally like to boast about who likes a tweet, but one of the things I shared was about Arrow, and I tweeted out, the whole hour could have been Dinah Drake and Black Siren fighting, and I would be happy. Great Arrow action at James Banford. And he liked that tweet. James Banford read a tweet of mine, and he liked it. Holy smokes.
I feel your excitement, because it was one of the dumbest moments of my life when I had a celebrity like a tweet of something I sent them, and I was like, huh, that's actually kind of cool, but kind of dumb, but at least they're actually reading some of this stuff, so I'd offset my I feel dumb about this with my I feel okay about this.
Yeah, James Bamford, if you are indeed listening to this, first of all, thank you very much for gracing our podcast with your ears. Second of all, you are welcome to come on board anytime that you want, and we would love to talk about fight choreography in superhero shows with you. If you want to talk directing, that's fine too. Anything else you want to talk about, but specifically, I want to talk about fight choreography in superhero shows with you, because you've done an awesome job, and we've really enjoyed watching your work.
Completely. So that was fun.
It was fun. And you know what else is fun, Chris?
What's that, SP?
The fact that if you've had fun with this content, there's a bunch of other content at the GunnaGeek.com network, which we are members of.
That's right, SP. We are a member of the Gunna Geek network. There's 20 plus different podcasts on there that cover a variety of geeky and nerdy topics, some of them about specific television shows like this one. Some about geek culture in general, some about board games, all sorts of things. And each week, we try to highlight one specific show, point it out to you, be like, hey, you guys should go check this one out. So I'd like to let you guys know that every Wednesday, you can find the newest episode of Just One More Fix. In this podcast, join lifelong gamers James, Kurt, Lacey, Lee, and Carrie around the table as they geek out about RPGs, gaming, and gamer culture. Topics include game reviews, inspiration, scenario design, and other aspects of great gaming. So guys, if you're into the gaming side of things, go check out Just One More Fix over at GunnaGeek.com. But looking at the time, it is time for us to start wrapping things up. So a big thank you to everyone who did participate live in the chat room over at Geeks.live today, and also to everyone who downloads or replays the video version at a later date. Don't forget, you can download things from our website, and also head on over to the Gunna Geek YouTube channel to catch the replays.
Remember, you can always catch us live as we record every Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific at Sundays, but it's at the website www.geeks.live. No matter where we're streaming, you can find where we're streaming at that website. Also, you can find all of our past shows on the Gunna Geek network, as Chris just said.
We would love to hear from you. We are the Starling Tribune on Facebook and Instagram, at Starling Tribune on Twitter, and you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, that's another great episode, guys. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag Arrow Fight Blimp.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag More Slade.
And I am at Michelle Ely, signing off with hashtag Ball Whisperer. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.
Real quick, before we stop recording, Michelle, favorite episode of the week?
It would have to be a Rubicon, Legends of Tomorrow. I mean, I love this first episode with Arrow, but my goodness, McRory sitting there with a bowl of a salad, looking at Julius Caesar going, "Your salad sucks." Like, how can you beat that?
Chris, favorite episode of the week?
Oh, it's the same thing. It's Legends. McRory is my favorite character in all of the Arrowverse right now because he gets the best one-liners and has developed into a very good, competent character, especially the relationship he has with Sarah at the end where they clink their beer glass together and you can tell there's an understanding between them. So, Mick.
Yeah, I think Flash had a couple of jump-the-shark moments getting the band back together sort of thing. So, Supergirl... Hey, also kind of the same thing, although less so than Flash, especially with Kat. Although that was cool what they did with Kat, but at the same time, it's like, we need Kat. Out of Legends and Arrow, I love Legends. I really did, especially with how they got rid of the dinosaurs and stuff. But I am going to go with Arrow for the week because I'm glad to have my fights back. Welcome back, Arrow. We'll see if they can keep it up. All right. That's it. Thanks, guys.
See you guys next week. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.